Extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Welcome back to the Extra Time podcast, listening folk. Today, it's me, it's Patrick Van Straten, and it's Doogie Critchley. Chris Hamill is still editing something very special that will be coming to your screens over the next few days, so keep your eyes peeled for that one. Today, the topic is all about bargain transfers of less than 20 million squid. Pato, why are we doing this topic?
Well, right now, I think the Premier League's kind of middle class is more competitive than ever. They're really struggling to find the right sort of signings to push on to the next level. But also, I think the big boys are going to be thinking about spending a little bit less. I think over the last few years, we've seen some failures and just some slow starts of the signings at the top end of the market.
Agreed.
You know, like Kepa, failure.
To say the least.
Pepe, certainly a slow start, but probably an overpay. Naby Keita, Eden Hazard this season.
Fred.
Antoine Griezmann. Yeah, though Fred, I kind of feel like Fred's coming back into it
now. Slow start.
But even Maguire, like Maguire I think has been good, but has he been 75 mils worth good? It's hard to say. So I think that actually, you know, Man City, we don't know how much money they'll have this summer. Arsenal, after going out of the Europa League, they might be looking for some bargain signings.
And their finances are in disarray, apparently.
Well, I think they're not that bad. But I feel like there's an argument for some of these bigger clubs maybe taking more punts on cheaper players rather than thinking they're just going to smash it out of the park with a big signing. So we're looking at guys in the low to mid range, I'd say. Like £20 million is not a lot to a Premier League club now, but that's still a lot to most sides around Europe. So we've each picked a defender, a midfielder, and a forward that we think you can get for about that money. Deuce, you want to start us off with your defender?
Yeah, why not? I actually found this quite difficult. It's probably the most difficult podcast to research.
I agree.
There's not a lot of, at least not a lot of attacking players that you can get for under this who are of value. But defenders was a bit easier. So I thought about including Robin Gosens, the Atalanta left back. But I was slightly concerned that he was just a bit of a god under Gasperini. But he has been truly exceptional this season. He's got 7 goals and 5 assists in 22 Serie A games. Over 5 tackles and interceptions in the Champions League. £20 million, probably a bit ambitious to get him for that. He'd probably cost closer to 30. Mm. Also considered Marcelo, if you could get him at Real Madrid for any fee. With Reguilon going back there, they've got Hakimi coming back. And they've got Mondi, who's obviously, you know, adapted pretty well there as well. But I thought, well, that was probably a bit unrealistic as well. I then spent all of yesterday morning writing about this guy called William, who plays for Wolfsburg.
Love him. You've mentioned him about 15 podcasts.
Yeah, who I mentioned in on Sunday Vibes like a year ago. But then he turns out he's done his ACL last month. Sick. And I didn't realise that until I'd done all my research. So that was a bit annoying. But anyway, instead, I'm bringing to the table 23-year-old centre-back Duje Chalet-Sar. It's actually looks like it's spelled Kaletakar, but I've been doing my research this morning and it's Chalet-Sar, apparently. He's that Giroud lookalike who plays at centre-back for Marseille. He's a 5-cap Croatian. He was in their 2018 World Cup squad. And he signed in July 2018 for €90 million. So I think 20 is probably a bit ambitious, but he was around that bracket from RB Salzburg, which is always quite promising when you hear a player coming out of RB Salzburg. He was at FC Liefering, their feeder club, for a few years before that. One big season at Salzburg, was playing pretty well there, and was sort of eased into the first team picture at Marseille last year under Rudy Garcia. 20 league appearances, they finished fifth. But since AVB's come in, he's been an absolute mainstay. Lom have won 16 of their 27 league games, only losing 4, which is one more than PSG. And prior to their 3-1 defeat at home to Nantes 2 weekends ago, they went 14 games unbeaten. So Marseille actually have been one of the surprise packages in Europe, I think, under AVB. And they've done that amazing run of form without arguably their best player in Tovan, who's been out all year with a knee injury as well. And Marseille have conceded 27 league goals in 27 games, which is only topped by PSG and Rennes. Chalet-Sar has been a massive, massive part of that. So he's made 23 appearances. He ranks 7th for minutes, but he's had one or two small niggling injuries. He's got 1 goal and 1 assist. He's not the biggest tackles and interception numbers, only 2.7, but he's really successful when he goes in for a tackle. So he wins 78% of his tackles. Van Dijk is around 80% for context, although in a tougher league, obviously, for Van Dijk. He also wins 74% of his aerial duels. Sergio Ramos, who I would argue is probably this century's best header of a ball,
is he's doing, on like 52.
He's on like 55.
But he's having a bad year.
He's having a bad year.
Physicality is starting to go, I think.
For sure.
Yeah.
Charlotte Sarkin also, he's a good passer. 47 passes per game, which is fourth in the squad. 87% pass accuracy, which is doesn't sound like truly exceptional for passing, but that doesn't factor into the fact... Sorry, that doesn't take into account that he attempts 7.3 long balls per game, which is massive. So he's progressing a lot of their play from deep. He completes about 53% of them, which isn't exceptional, but shows that, you know, over 50% on a long ball is not too bad.
Is he mostly playing with Camara this
yes.
season?
Yeah,
really young centre-back
pairing. Really, 23 and 20, I believe.
Yeah.
And I thought about putting Camara in as well, but at 20, he's just not quite got the experience of Charlotte Sarr.
So doesn't he have a contract situation coming to an end or a buyout
Camara,
or something? Yeah.
Quite possibly.
I think
not
he might
sure.
have a 20 mil buyout as well or something. He's been heavily linked with Arsenal, so I was kind of... I don't know. I wondered if somebody would bring him.
Yeah,
to the
table. I looked at him, but I just thought Charlotte Sarr was just added that 3 year of experience on him. And his market value has increased from 2.7 million in January 2018 to 16 million in 2 years. And I was having a think about potential destinations. Obviously, Mason Holgate's just signed that new contract to Everton. But before that, there was lots of talk that he might leave to Man City, although that probably seems like a year or two, maybe too early for him. But Everton only have Keane, Mina and Holgate. So Charlotte Sarr could be an option there. I was thinking maybe even Spurs if they're looking for a third choice centre-back. I don't know whether he's quite ready to partner Davinson Sanchez, but Spurs will probably need to buy two centre-backs at least in the next in the next 18 months. So he could be an option there. So just one to consider and relatively cheap. I think he's just around 20 million. That's my suggestion.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. I think what I will say, though, is the 20 million valuation, Marseille, quite a rich club.
Could say no.
Feels like they're at that sort of stage.
Very
where
rich owner, so I don't mean very good owner.
McCourt is kind of just going to say no to a lot of bids.
I think it depends where teams are, though. I think there are players who can be had for like around this price. I don't think it's that crazy. Eric Bailly is going to have a year left on his contract at the end of the season, right? Because you've extended.
Yeah, he had like a 2 year option to extend, okay. Eric.
But if he had a year left on his contract, I don't think it'd be like that crazy to think you could maybe get him for 20 mil.
So what was he, 35 originally? 30?
Something like that. With a year left, who knows?
Yeah.
Not the worst. All right, I'll pitch in with my next one then. Also from the French League.
Lovely.
Pata, how do you pronounce this team?
Rennes.
It's spelt R-E-I-M-S. It's not Rennes, though.
No, it's Rennes.
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Rem because I'm not that competent. But I'm talking about Hassan Kamara, 24-year-old, left back, 1,600 minutes this season. I believe Watford had a bid in the region of €5.5 million rejected for him in January. His contract expires in 2021. Yeah. And obviously, Rem are having a quite unique season. They're eighth in the league, but they've got the best defensive record of any team in France. So they've done pretty well under David Gijon. Is that how you say his name?
I don't know.
G-U-I-O-N. I'm going to go David Gijon.
G-U-I-O-N.
I like
Gijon. Gijon.
Gijon. I'm going David Gijon now, apparently. He's been at Rem since 2012 in many forms. Youth coach, B team, assistant, caretaker, now manager. And he's kind of set up with a pretty Burnley-esque style, quite defensive. They're very, very limited. Obviously, they've only conceded 21 goals in the league, which is pretty bloody impressive for Rem.
That's outrageous.
They've got the third best expected goals against, so it's not like they're just massively punching above their weight and getting lucky. They don't score many goals, and they're pretty boring going forward. They've got the fourth worst expected goals in the entire league. They've only scored 25, but to only concede 21 as Rem is very impressive, and they'll be absolutely fine with eighth in the league. They're not looking to punch much higher than that, I don't think. And Hassan Kamara has been absolutely fantastic, so consistent throughout the season. 2.6 tackles, 2.7 interceptions. Not the strongest going forward because he is playing in effectively a very low block, but still putting up over a 1.5 dribbles per 90. His key passes are low, but again, he's just playing super deep, so he's not that arsed about going forward, although there was one freak game I found against Monaco where he took 7 shots from left back, which I don't totally understand, but he did score, I think, in that game, and I also think he scored against PSG this season. So he scored a couple of big goals, but he can play in a flat back four. He can also play as a left midfielder. He's only 24. The issue, I think, for the Premier League is his height.
He's a little boy.
He's 5'6".
Ooh, that is pretty small.
Yeah, but then again, like,
it is small for
I feel like once you start looking at, if we started looking at fullbacks, I think there are probably quite a few around the 5'8" mark.
Luka Dina is not particularly tall.
He's not particularly big.
I think he's like 5'9", but he's got a great spring. Like, he's
he's Luka, good in the air.
The one
he?
Thing he's good at, really, I've in the past, before he came to Everton, was the air.
I quite like this guy, Hassan Kamara. He's small. He's very, very athletic. Reminds me a little bit of Pereira, the right back for Leicester.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know whether his future is as a left back or a left wing back. I wonder whether in an actually competent team going forward, he's slightly more suited to the wing back role because he's played as a left midfielder at times as well in a flat four. So I was originally thinking Burnley.
His defensive numbers are mental though.
They are ridiculous.
Like, doesn't he lead the league?
Yeah, I think he leads the league in defensive output.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like you can trade off the fact, like, I haven't actually looked at his aerial wins. Did you say what his aerial win percentage was?
No, I didn't look.
Like, but even, yeah, he didn't want to know.
No, it's like, he can't be good at 5-6.
But even if it's like not, even if it's just like all right, like, I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing because he's so good on the deck. Like, yeah, he's like a tiny Wan-Bissaka. Like, you just can't get past him.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. And yeah, as you said, I think in terms of defensive output, he leads the league. So he's very impressive. He's not going to be a massive amount of money to get out of Rem, let's be honest. So I was originally looking at Burnley, somebody who's going to play deep. I was looking at their left back, Charlie Taylor. Yeah. He's been linked with moves away from the club. He's been linked with Leicester as a potential Ben Chilwell replacement. And also, I think if he was to leave, I think Sean Dyche wouldn't. He's not a star for Burnley, is he? Burnley aren't packed with stars, but he's very
consistent. I'd be very surprised if he went to Leicester. That seems
it's an odd rumour, but I saw it this morning on Twitter. I was also thinking potentially Everton, if Leighton Baines was ever going to leave the club as a sort of backup to Dinier, or at least competing with Dinier for that left back slot, or Wolves, who play obviously predominantly with a three and a wing back, and I don't believe they've got a Johnny Otto backup.
I think it's Vinagre.
But I think he's more of a winger, isn't he, that plays as a left back.
Yeah, I think he's like a wing back, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know whether he'd be a good option there. I know that obviously Matt Doherty's also spent some time at left back throughout his career, but I think he would be a good pickup, Hassan Kamara, for like £8 million. Cheap as chips.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And at 24, it's probably the sort of transfer we're talking about in the intro that it's just worth taking a risk on. Fullbacks are hard to find. Like, look at Ricardo Pereira, what a revelation he's been for Leicester. And that was kind of a bit risky at the time. Nobody was really sure he was going to put that output from that he crunched in Portugal into the Premier League. And he has, and more. So I think 8 to 12 million quid is probably a good purchase.
Look at you finding some gold dust in France. This
sort of between
suggestion.
6th and 15th, I'd say.
Well, also, I mean, like, that's the Premier League. If you were a Spanish club, I'd have fewer worries about his height as well, because it's just a less cross-based game.
Well, he's
so
very
buy him probably like Sevilla or
very,
something.
Very heavily linked with Lyon as well. Very heavily linked with Lyon.
Yeah, because they don't like Kone.
No.
They got off Lyon.
So I think
he's been injured as well.
I'd be surprised if Hassan Kamara is still at Rem come the end of next summer. But as to whether a Premier League club takes him, I think 5'6" might just be a stalling point for him. And he might end up going to Spain or to France.
Got to put my hands up. Never heard of him, but he sounds like very interesting prospect.
Neither had I.
I think we did him on a podcast once before, but very, very briefly.
Okay.
Like, never in that
interesting
detail,
little player,
he's an interesting player.
Lots of defensive output.
Yeah. He's definitely worth a look. I've gone for a guy from La Liga, actually. And the only reason I can get him for our price is because he's got a buyout.
Ooh, Mohamed, we love the La Liga buyout clause.
Mohamed Salisu from Real Valladolid.
This guy's getting talked about a lot.
He's got a 12 million euro buyout, that's why. I mean, like, and he's 20. And he's a regular centre-back in La Liga. And not for a side that are probably going to stay up. Like, so he's 6'3", he's Ghanaian. He joined Real Valladolid back in 2017. He was playing for the African Talent Football Academy in Accra. And he didn't actually know the scouts were coming on that day, so he had to borrow boots that didn't fit him from his mate, who was a goalkeeper. But despite playing in boots that were about an inch too big, he still got scouted and ended up there. This season, he's missed 64 minutes of football for Real Valladolid. Like, he's just on the pitch all the time. And that's still pretty unusual for a 20-year-old in La Liga. Mm. Like, not just a top league, but one of the top leagues. Like, a 20-year-old centre-back, that's quite impressive in itself. And the Albivioletas are currently in 15th, but they've only allowed 29 goals in 26 league matches, which is the 6th best record in La Liga. They've actually conceded 2 goals fewer than Barcelona. So they've been pretty solid defensively this season. And have you seen those like defensive activity maps you get on like StatsBomb, where they show all the clubs in the league, and then it's like it's like a heat map, like red to blue. And red is like, the closer to red it is, the more pressure that team exerts above average in that position.
Okay, I didn't
so if you look at teams that like Getafe that press really high, then it's all like red around their opponent's penalty area, and then it gets bluer as it gets back towards their area because they push really high up.
Yeah.
Real Valladolid are the opposite of that. So they put no pressure on high up the pitch. They sit super deep. Low and as block. A result, Salisu does not have huge tackle interception numbers. Like, they're not particularly
in
impressive.
Low block, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially, like, they only really close down opponents once those opponents get to their final third, which is classic small team stuff, right? They actually make more tackles and interceptions in their own defensive third than any other side in the division. But because they sit so deep, they also face more crosses than any side in the league except three. And Salisu is very good in the air. Like, for a 20-year-old, winning 63% of your aerial duels is a really good sign. Because when I look at aerial duels won in young players, even if they're big and strong young players, you just don't see like high aerial duel percentage wins. Like, and I think it must just be something about learning to use your physicality, like learning to compete properly. So while he is a tall guy, he still needs to build up some strength, I think. But this is really good. And like you said, you know, Sergio Ramos is like 8 to 10% below Salisu's aerial wins this season. So that's pretty good. No one makes more clearances than him in La Liga, full stop. Makes over 5 a game. And when he does need to make a challenge on the deck, he's pretty solid. 74% of his tackles he wins. So, like, he doesn't tackle a lot, but when he does it, it's effective. When the ball comes in the air, he's going to win it.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just super young. So chances are, you know, you think about this guy, he could have another 2 years playing top-level football and still be younger than, like, Davinson Sanchez or the young centre-backs you see in the Premier League. So I think that that's a pretty good prospect as well. He gets on the ball a decent amount, but he's not like a spectacular passer. He fails with more of his long balls than he completes, but only 5 players complete more passes than him, and he is playing for Valladolid.
And so, in a low block where they probably exactly are just clearing the ball like, all the time, get it out.
So it's just, so I don't really blame him there, but he's been linked because of this release clause with Real Madrid, with Atletico, with Man United, and you kind of think Atleti probably make the most sense stylistically. But it's possible that, yeah, like in a different style of team, like you would see more expansive passing range. I don't really like assuming that. But for 12 million euros.
Go tap up Ronaldo.
You know, it looked like Nacho might leave Real Madrid this summer. And apparently Real Madrid are considered to be in the front running for this, considered the front runners for this because Real Valladolid's club president, do you know who it is?
I think I just said, yeah, Ronaldo.
It's Brazilian Ronaldo.
Really?
So, yeah. And he's apparently super close to Florentino Perez.
Shock.
So the thought is that Real Madrid might be able to get there. But I think...
Militao. What about Arsenal? Arsenal going to be interested in centre-halves?
Yeah, I think Arsenal probably will go for a centre-half. Like, I think the emergence of Martinelli and Saka mean that Arsenal will sell at least one of their strikers this summer. Aubameyang will go for sure. Maybe Lacazette will go as well, but I think they'll probably try and keep him. So they'll need a striker, they'll need a number 10, they'll probably need a centre mid, and they might try and get another left back. But it looks like they might make Mari permanent, so then like another centre back might be contingent on them getting rid of Mustafi or Socrates or Chambers.
He played his first game against Portsmouth.
Mari. But you think like if Mustafi were to go, if Socrates were to go, if Chambers were to go, all of those are going to cover this price. Like,
yeah,
all of them are going to cover 12 million euros. Like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, what any one of those would cover this price.
Do you really see that many people leave? I mean, I don't mean to go on to Arsenal instantly, but that's a lot of players leaving.
I don't think all those guys will go, but I think they'll probably try and get rid of a couple. I think Chambers will, if he's fit, will be out the door. And I think
back to Southampton.
George has run out of patience with holding as well.
Yeah, but I think that's ridiculous. I think, you know, his fitness.
George is the least patient guy ever, so take that with a pinch of salt.
But you'd get rid of Mustafi. You'd certainly get rid of Socrates. I'd actually get rid of Socrates before Mustafi, just because of age.
And he's having a bit of an upturn recently, Mustafi.
Well, also, Mustafi has at least like some physical qualities. Like, Socrates is only going to get worse. I don't think Mustafi's going to get better, but like I think it'll be a while before he gets worse, is what I'm saying. So, yeah, I think Salisu, like, this is the sort of price, it's the same as Camara, you know? It's the sort of price where you think, we are running almost no risk here.
Yeah.
You could get Salisu and Camara in for 20 million euros combined. That's mental. That's so little money.
Yeah, I wonder if Tottenham should have a look at that as well.
Yeah, just, why not?
Like, I presume Vertonghen's going to be allowed to leave in the summer. I just don't think he's shown enough this season under Mourinho to be kept. Danny Rose has left. That's going to leave a big hole at that sort of centre-back, left-back area. But Ben Davies just isn't up to filling at the moment.
Yeah, he's not having a good year at all, is he? How are we going to... I mean, we don't need to decide who's the better prospect or whatever, but Shaletasar, Kamara, Salisu, who do we think? Well, okay, maybe we do need to decide. Who would you go for if you were, say you were Spurs?
If I was Spurs, I'd probably go for Shaletasar. Actually, I don't know. It depends how much money. Maybe Salisu.
Yeah, he might be more like 25.
I think you're more interested in a centre-back if you're Spurs as well than a left-back, potentially.
Kamara's got the best stats of all these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Like he truly does. And if it weren't, and if you said he was 5'9", I genuinely think you wouldn't have a single objection to him.
Yeah, but 5'6", I think, is just a risk for the Premier League. I think maybe you might see him. I think you'll see him end up at like Lyon come the end of the summer, something like that.
Or maybe a Sevilla. You could see like Monchi thinking like,
have a go.
I don't care, 5'6", whatever. Because Reguilon's going to go back to Real Madrid. So.
For sure. Okay, three good options then. We haven't quite decided who we reckon, but you know they're all good options. So yeah, take it. Okay, move on to midfield.
Take it.
And I've slightly cheated on this one because my player is actually valued even as the word at 22.5 million.
Cheat!
According to Transfermarkt.
And also, Transfermarkt.
Undervalued.
Massively undervalued.
I know, but I just wanted to write about someone that I like.
50 million pound player.
I wanted to write about someone that is Rodrigo De Paul. From Udinese.
No way do you get this guy. I think they might have spent 20 mil.
He's so good. And I just, I really enjoy like watching him on the brief, you know, when the brief times I watch Udinese, I only watch their highlights packages.
I'm going to say he's great. He's barely a midfielder.
No. He's a winger, really. Very attacking. But he does drop occasionally quite deep as well.
No, he does, but you know.
He's more of a 10.
He's one of those guys, you look at them on Who Scored, where it lists their positions, and it's like AM, ML, MR, and then it says MC.
He gets through a lot of defensive work as well. I think he completes nearly three tackles and interceptions. So he does a good shift. Anyway, he is 25, and he has been on the scene for a little while, because he joined Valencia in May 2014, signing a five-year deal. So it would only just run out, but it didn't work out there at all.
Is he Argentinian?
He's Argentine, yeah. And he was only there for a year and a half, made 34 appearances, scored one, assisted four. Gary Neville came in, and one of numerous bad decisions he made was he's going back to Racing Club, back to Argentina. He only played 11 games in Argentina. Udinese saw his potential, spent £2.7 million, and to say it's come off is a massive understatement. So in 16-17, six goal contributions in 34 games. 17-18... 11 in 37, and last year 17 goal contributions in 36 games in the league. That was nine more than next best in Udinese's squad, which is Kevin Lasagna.
Big Kev Lasagna.
And Jeez. Udinese only survived in 18-19 by 5 points, and that's mainly because they only scored 39 goals in 38 games, meaning that De Paul contributed 44% of them.
That's a lot. Very impressive.
He's very versatile, but I think he's best as a number 10, but he has played on the wing as well. This season, Udinese have struggled again. They're 14th. They're only 5 points clear of relegation. They've only scored 21 goals again. Kevin Lasagna up front not doing the business. And they are 19th in Serie A for goals scored. They've only scored two more than 20 place Spal. De Paul, though, has been crucial. He's got 5 goals and 2 assists. No one's got more goal contributions. That's actually level with Okaka. Do you remember he played for Watford for about 5 minutes?
I mean, if Okaka's up there with the goal contributions.
But basically, it paints a picture that this guy needs to leave Udinese and as quickly as possible. And his stats are really impressive. So nearly 3 tackles and deceptions, 2.5 shots, 2.6 key passes, 2.3 dribbles with a 70% completion rate. And that's quite rare to find a number 10 that is versatile. Over 2.5 in all those sort of areas. His shots per 90 have been over 2.5 for the last two seasons, which is more than Milinkovic, Savic and Zaniolo.
Do you think that's because everything goes through him? Yeah. So they have to just quite like possibly. Give him the ball, shoot, please.
Is he shooting from mental places?
He shoots from mental places, but also his dribbling ability lets him get into the box in quite a good position. So it's a bit of both, really.
Okay. Do you have his expected goal numbers?
I do. His expected assists are 0.23. His expected goals and assists per 90 are 0.36. So not fantastic, but he is the main man at Udinese, and it's quite difficult playing in that side.
It was high last season, right?
Yeah, high last season. I think it was close to 0.5.
Okay.
But his expected assist ratio is similar to Son, Firmino, Willian, and Pogba in the Premier League, albeit Pogba in very limited minutes.
So Pogba in six games.
He's on set pieces. The ball constantly goes through him. He's very adept at picking out a through ball.
That's my issue, though, if he's on set pieces. I would, because then I'm like, say I'm a Southampton. Then I think, okay, a large proportion of the value you're going to give us, we already have in the squad with like Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, I don't think he's better at Ward-Prowse than at set pieces, but he'd be a great addition for a team like.
Is that who you're shipping him to? Who are you shipping?
No, I'm saying that Everton should probably move on from Sigurdsson.
Wow, really?
He's had.
They got Iwobi, bro. They spent 40 mil on Iwobi.
Yeah, but Sigurdsson's so much better out wide.
But he's playing quite a.
And they might lose Richarlison.
Sigurdsson's better out wide.
Sigurdsson's not good anywhere.
No, you said Sigurdsson.
Oh, sorry, I meant Iwobi.
Oh, right, yeah.
But they're playing quite a flat midfield under
Ancelotti. They might well change in the summer.
It's a bit of a fake 4-4-2, right, though? Because when they play Sidibe on one side, you're kind of like, Sidibe kind of tucks in and it ends up being like a lopsided 4-3-3.
But it hasn't got a classic 10.
No, it doesn't at all. That's why I like Iwobi in that system, because Iwobi's going to defend on the wing. Like, he defends a lot on the wing, but he's also going to come inside and do number 10 stuff.
I actually don't think...
And they did spend a lot of money.
Everton's probably not the best suggestion, to be honest. I think if Lazio lose Milinkovic-Savic, which is looking...
That's probably the limit,
likely,
the upper limit.
I think that's the upper limit. Yeah. But Napoli were really interested in taking him last summer, and Inter Milan were sniffing
if they
around
lose
well
Fabian Ruiz, maybe.
If they lose Fabian Ruiz, who's worst. Being linked with Barcelona and pretty much everyone under the sun, what a... Fantastic prospect. He looks and so like physically dominant, but that's Ruiz. But anyway, Depaul, only 7 players have created more chances than him in Serie A, and they are some of the, you know, top creators: Ilicic, Luis Alberto, Pellegrini, etc. So he's performing right at the top of Italy in a very average side, and I think he's worth a sniff. But it will be probably closer to 30 than 20. So I did cheat.
Okay, very
good
suggestion.
You've cheated on both of yours so far. You've got 100% cheat.
My attacker is a bargain.
Mine might be a cheat as well, this one. I've got Mikel Merino at Sociedad.
Nice.
And there are debating reports here. I've read 25 million euro buyout clause in a couple of sources. So he's not a million miles off potentially of where it is. Sociedad paid 12 million euros, that is, to get him out of Newcastle, of course. So he probably will cost slightly over 20, but I don't think he's going to be like a £40 million player or even a 30, to be honest with you.
Why did Newcastle sell him, Matt?
Horrible decision. Horrible decision making. I think they saw a 10 million. I think they saw a 10 million euro profit and just went, 10 mil, we could do that.
Was this when they were trying to fatten the club up for the sale, do you think?
I'm not
too
sure.
Let's get as much money in the door.
I'm not too sure. It's 2018, so I think they probably just thought we can cash in on a player that, even though he's looked good for us, hasn't been like an outstanding, oh, he's our best player. He starts every single
game. Maybe
he was homesick
or something, I don't know.
Yeah, and he's still only 23. You know, it feels like he's been around for ages, Mikel Merino, but he's still only 23. He's 6 foot. He really reminds me of Rodri when I watch him. When I watch him, he really reminds me of Rodri, the way he moves, his style of play on the ball. Obviously, he's in a pretty exciting Sociedad team, isn't he, with Odegaard, who he's effectively Martin Odegaard's errand boy, I would say. Whatever Odegaard doesn't want to do, Mikel Merino does, and does it pretty well. Sociedad are having a great season under Emmanuel Al-Ghakouli. How do you pronounce it?
Isn't it like Aguirreche or something? I need to see it.
I can't pronounce it. Emmanuel Al-Ghakouli. But again, can't pronounce it. Ignore my pronunciation. They are having a good season, aren't they? They're sixth at the moment. It's an exciting, exciting team that's probably going to get picked apart by the Vultures in the summer. Is Isak still on loan? I think he might be.
No, I think they've bought him.
If they've bought him, then that's a fantastic bit of business.
Or it becomes
obviously
permanent.
Odegaard's going to go back, isn't he? I think they've got the third most goals in the entire division. Play pretty nice football. They've scored 43 expected goals against. They've got a pretty good defence. Fifth best defence in the league. They've actually conceded the eighth most goals, though, so they're slightly unlucky there. But part of that reason is Mikel Merino. And like we said, Newcastle never really should have let him go. 14 starts there at his time at St James's Park. Played about 1,300 minutes. 2.5 tackles, 1.5 interceptions. It's been the same throughout his entire career, really. Over 2.5 tackles and over 1.5 interceptions every single season throughout his career.
Solid.
Even at Dortmund, although he only played 8 games or something when he was a kid in Tuchel, I think, just for... I just haven't got the time to... like blood this player, because he's obviously blooding a lot of youngsters.
Yeah,
he moved on.
Weigl, didn't he?
Exactly, and then Weigl's ended up where Benfica is he at the moment, struggling for a position there. I don't even think he's first choice at Benfica at the moment.
Yeah, Tarap's playing there.
Yeah, but he's back up again this season, running Mikel Merino, 2.5 tackles, 1.5 interceptions yet again. But where he has improved this season has been his sort of progression with the ball. Dribbles have gone up from 0.3 at Newcastle to over 1. Might have something to do with the physicality of the league, potentially, because he's quite a big bloke in La Liga, 6'2", knocks people off the way, whereas in England, That's kind of average height, I'd say, for a lot of central midfielders. Key passes have gone from 0.4 to 1.2. His game involvement's really improved as well. 30 passes per 90 in the Prem. That's up to about 50 to 60 in La Liga. And deep progressions have gone from sort of 4 to 5 to 7 to 8. So he's clearly improving. He's still in 23, like I said, 6'2". Now, Newcastle shouldn't have sold him. I think he would be a good option for Everton. And I think what they should do...
Are we fixing Everton today, it feels like?
Potentially, could be. But I think,
has Bamman even played for them yet?
No. So I don't know whether you cut your losses on Bamman, but I certainly think you cut your losses on Morgan Schneiderlin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who has now got, I think, a significant knee injury and is going to spend the rest of the season out. And I would imagine Everton will say that's probably it for Morgan Schneiderlin. And Mikel Merino is a very clear upgrade in that role. He still played quite a few games, actually, Schneiderlin, under Ancelotti. So I think I would just get rid of Schneiderlin. I'd maybe think about cutting my losses and Bamman if he's never going to play for the club. And then I'd look at Mikel Merino at about 20 to 30 million euros. I think he'd be a good option for anyone that's not quite in that big six, but looking to push in. Yeah. Maybe even as a backup to a Ruben Neves or as a replacement. He's not got the passing range of Joao Moutinho, but it's sort of a rotation option with those two in the midfield. So I think anyone sort of Wolves, Everton would be good value for him. I don't think he's suited to Leicester necessarily because he's just not going to play over like Ndidi in that deep lying role. He's not as progressive as like Tielemans either. And I don't know whether he's ever going to get played in a deep line.
Yeah, the good thing about this from in the potential of getting him is that Sociedad have quite a few good central midfielders. I think Illarramendi has been injured for a lot of the year. And they've got this guy called Zubeldia, who everyone's raving about in Spain as well. So they've got a bit of depth there. So you might be able to prize him out.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good pickup for 20 million euros. Not too much of a risk either. He's got a pretty decent injury record. So I think, I'd probably go for Mikel Merino.
I like it.
I like that one. I've gone for Serie A as well.
Okay.
And I can't quite believe this guy is available, but Manuel Locatelli is my choice.
I don't know a lot about Locatelli.
But when you think of him, what club do you think of him playing for?
I actually have no idea.
Because he was at Milan, I kind of figured he was still at Milan.
Where is he now?
Sassuolo. He went on loan to Sassuolo last season, and then Milan let him leave for 9 million quid after spending the year on loan. But he's only just turned 22. Like last month, I think he turned 22. So I'm not quite sure why Milan just said, we're going to ship him out. Because it wasn't that much
money.
Was it
as part of a deal or something for somebody else?
I don't think they got
him. Tends to be Milan style.
Benacer in, they didn't.
No, because Benacer came. Yeah, but Benacer, they didn't just get Benacer. They also got that other guy from Empoli, right?
Krunic.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, why didn't they just keep Locatelli instead of getting in crew?
Milan makes some strange decisions, though, don't they?
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, he just looks fantastic. He already has over 100 senior appearances by 22, which in centre midfield is pretty good. This season, he's only got 3 assists, though that's decent. Like 1.9 key passes per game, which is very solid. And the way I found him is I was basically looking for the best dribbling central midfielders in Europe, because I think that's such a rare quality in a midfielder. Mm. And if you combine that with big defensive output, like a Benacer, that's quite rare. He's 18th for dribbles completed among central midfielders and defensive midfielders per 90 minutes this season, with 2.1 and 81% success rate. So like, he's really press resistant, really good at moving through the middle of the park. Gets on the ball a lot, 70 passes a game, nearly 4 long balls, 86% accuracy. You know, and obviously the fact that he's completed 1.9 key passes as well, it's not like it's all playing safe.
And he's playing for Sassuolo, who are average.
Yeah, he's playing for Sassuolo. And this is the most exciting thing for me. So last year, he was completing 4.6 passes into the final third a game, which is good. This season, he's at 6.9. That's 6th best in Serie A and would be 10th best in the Prem among all players.
Blimey.
While playing for Sassuolo.
Yeah.
Passing it into the final third relentlessly and can dribble. And he's 22. And decent defensive numbers.
Oh.
Like, his defensive numbers...
I've been sleeping on
his defensive numbers are not, like, amazing. Like, 3.6 tackles and interceptions per 90 minutes. But that's totally respectable. You could imagine that going up as well, because in the past, it's been closer to 4. So you could think... So I don't know. Like, I kind of think there's a lot to dream on here with this. He's also 6'1". So, like, there's no real red flag. And he is so young. I mean, like, if you wanted to replace, like, a Xhaka or a Matic, but you wanted to save money for bigger positions, he'd be a perfectly good guy to get in, because there's loads of room for improvement. And even if he came in and he stayed exactly the player he is now, he's a very good progressive passer and dribbler, and he's not a zero defensively. Like, that to me is pretty decent. Like, these numbers actually... he doesn't pass into the final third as much as Xhaka, but he's not far off. And age-wise, he's certainly got time to
improve.
And
we talk about Xhaka as being one of your best, if not your best, deep progressive passer.
Xhaka is, I think, like in the top five in the Premier League for passes into the final third. Like, that is the one thing Xhaka is amazing at. Like, I think 8 passes into the final third per 90 minutes. Like, that is genuinely, like, exceptional. But there are so many negatives to his game. Locatelli just doesn't seem to have those. And so, actually, I'd like to... He doesn't look the same as Marino when he plays, but what you're going to get out of him is a similar thing, I think. Like, just like relentless forward movement. Like, he's going to pass the ball forward again and again and again. He's going to do it from slightly further forward. But I think Locatelli, if you're a team like Southampton where you might lose a Højbjerg, he'd be interesting. If you're a team like Newcastle where basically your only plan for getting into the final third is giving it to Saint-Maximin or Almiron and hoping they can beat three guys, I think he'd be interesting as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Locatelli, if you're an ambitious Premier League club, he'd be an interesting guy.
What about West Ham? Always talked about them in a centre mid. We said they should have gone for Sander Berger. They missed out on him to Sheffield United. He'd be such a big upgrade on Mark Noble, who probably needs to be phased out. Stick him in there alongside Declan Rice.
Yeah.
Let him progress the ball. Let Declan do the dirty work, where he's got pretty good defensive output, but not Declan Rice levels of output. Yeah. But he's got a much better progression rate. Stick him alongside Declan Rice.
I suppose it's how well that Suchek guy does on loan, because if they make that permanent, then
he looks decent.
He covers a hell of a lot of ground.
But you still need more. Sanchez is going to go. Wilshere needs to go.
That's Noble's cross centrally quite a lot this year.
Like, I mean, you've got Felipe Anderson as well. You can tuck in, but I mean, like, when you think about their other midfielders, you're thinking about, like, if you look at their list of midfielders, it's those guys, and then it's like Fornals and Lanzini, and I don't think of either of those guys as a proper central midfielder.
Lanzini hasn't looked quite the same this year either.
Rice, I think, is the perfect sort of partner for him. The guy who has much bigger defensive work rate,
but struggles to progress it.
Yeah, like, because then he gives it to him.
Having known virtually nothing about him beforehand, those stats are really quite exciting, actually. I think that sounds like a really good prospect.
Yeah, I like him as well.
There, right, let's move on to attackers. Now, this is the hardest because...
This is difficult.
Because, like, Transfermarkt say that Watkins and Schick are £20 million, and they are not. I thought about Jair Pedro for a relegation threatened side. I think he could do a job. He's done very well at Cagliari this year. But I'm not sure that he'd go. He doesn't have that big a ceiling at 27. I thought about Daichi Kamada, who's playing for Eintracht Frankfurt. He got a very impressive hat trick in the Europa League.
I literally have no idea who that is. What?
He is a Japanese forward who plays for Eintracht Frankfurt. And he got a hat trick in the Europa League the other day against
Bobby
Salzburg.
Do you know?
He's 23, I think.
Okay, cool.
But in the end,
it's
I didn't.
So hard.
Because he's not a regular in the league, which kind of worries me.
Okay.
So I've gone a little rogue here, and I went a little further afield. And I'm suggesting 22-year-old Dinamo Kiev winger Viktor Siganov.
Bloody
okay,
hell.
You and have no date.
If you told me Viktor Siganov played in the 60s for the USSR, I'd be like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you'll know about him quite soon because he's been absolutely awesome. So in 29 appearances for Dinamo Kiev in European football, so that's the Champions League and Europa League. So 29 appearances, 8 goals, 11 assists in the Europa League. And that's for a side that haven't made
it
past.
What?
Yeah.
Say that again.
8 goals and 11 assists.
19
goal involvements. In 29 European games.
Bloody hell.
That's really impressive.
Like, he is Dinamo Kiev's, jewel in the crown.
How old is this boy?
22.
Bloody hell.
And that is for a side that hasn't made it past the Europa League last 16 in the time he's been there as well. So they're not exactly a good side, but he's just performing exceptionally. So in 16-17, he played 20 league games, 3 goals, 4 assists. The following year, 27 games, 13 goals, 9 assists. And last year, he played 31 games, 18 goals, 20 assists.
What?
20 goals in 47 games in all competitions from the wing.
Did you say 18 goals and 20 assists?
Sorry, I meant 10 assists.
Oh, right. Because I was going to say...
Sorry, 28 goal involvements in 31 games.
Bloody hell.
He's good.
He was named
statistically.
Ukrainian Footballer of the Year.
He is playing in Ukraine, though. That's what I'm going to say. He is playing
in
Ukraine.
He's played well for Ukraine as well. So he's got 20 caps now
for
Ukraine.
But then you look at guys like Dani Olmo coming out of, like, shitty leagues. Like, this guy's got much better numbers than Olmo. Like, Olmo going out to, like, RB Leipzig, I was looking at his numbers, like, I mean, they are good, but, like...
But he had the Barcelona pedigree.
But you do want to see someone, like, if they're in a league like that, you want to see them, like, murder that league.
Yeah.
And I mean, at least this guy is murdering the league.
Like, so I was watching his highlights earlier. Can't say I'd heard of him before doing this research. And he is, like, incredibly fast against slow Ukrainian defenders, most likely, but like probably blitzes them, takes amazing set pieces, shoots from anywhere, like scores from in the dots. Like, he can beat a man so easily. You know Ronaldo when he scored that free kick against Porto from long range in the Champions League? Yeah. He did one of those as well. Like, he just is tearing up Ukraine. And he's got 20 caps for Ukraine, and he's part of a really exciting crop of young talent for Ukraine. So Andrei Lunin, who's at Real Madrid, he's their keeper. 20-year-old Vitaly Mykolenko, who's also at Dinamo, and Bohdan Ledenev are their like Ukrainian starlets coming through. And Ukraine actually finished as group winners ahead of Portugal for Euro 2020. So there's a really exciting crop of young talent, a potential dark horses for the tournament. And the Europa League, he's been shining for a while. So we've got 6 goal contributions in 9 games last year. This year, 6 appearances, 2 goals, 3 assists, 2 tackles and interceptions, 3.2 shots, 3.3 key passes, and 1.2 dribbles with a 67% completion rate. So he's doing it at European level as well.
Where is he shooting from in the Europa?
Probably everywhere.
That's a good question.
I bet in the Europa he's just like getting the ball in their half and shooting.
5 goal contributions in 6 games shows that he's at least, you know, if he's firing from anywhere, like he's doing it effectively. And he's valued at just £18 million. So he's at the top end of this scale. But I was thinking West Ham, if they want to get rid of Yarmolenko.
How much did they pay for Dani Olmo in the end?
20, I wouldn't say.
It was like 30 mil or something like that. Yeah, so if this lad's available, it'd be less than that, because Dani Olmo had the Barcelona.
I don't know what his personality is like. I don't know whether he's ready for this move, like mentally, and what stage of life he's at or whatever. But Crystal Palace, if they lose Zaha, could have a look at him. Sevilla, I thought, feels quite munchy to pick up, like quite a random guy from Ukraine. And this guy has been tearing it up. So Viktor Siganov, one to watch for sure.
How did you find that?
I went on the Europa League stats, and he was just like top. So I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, very good as well. That's good.
That's really good, Paul.
Thank you.
Very, very good, Paul. I've gone a little bit more straight down the line. I've gone for Jeremy Bogart.
Okay.
And I just think
I like this guy.
So he has a €15 million buyback clause to Chelsea.
Okay.
So this is guaranteed to fall underneath the €20 million mark. He's playing for Sassuolo at the moment. You guys might remember the name. 23 years now, but he was originally at Chelsea. And obviously didn't quite work out there. He was kind of the crop before Mason Mount and those sort of boys where they didn't quite make it. You know, there was lots of loan moves, the pre-Frank Lampard boys, where he was really talented but just couldn't break
like
in.
Loftus-Cheek's
first
group,
team.
Yeah,
just couldn't break in. Like, yeah, exactly. Loftus-Cheek's style, where now you look at him, he's still at the club and he's probably going to get game time and he's back from his injury officially. But yeah, Sassuolo bought him for €2.7 million in 2018. He was extremely highly rated when he first came into the Chelsea Academy, went on loan to Rennes, then Granada, then Birmingham. None of them worked. But that's not to say that he is a poor player. Let's look at some of the players that have gone out on loan recently and then gone on to thrive. I look at Serge Gnabry, who was on loan at West Brom and couldn't get a game and is now crushing it in the Champions League. And he is having a fantastic season. Even though Sassuolo, you've already mentioned them, they're a pretty average side, aren't they? 12th in Serie A at the moment, 29 points from 24 games. But Bogart has contributed to 25% of their goals. He's looked just generally incredibly impressive. He's an unbelievable dribbler.
He scored an amazing goal a couple of weekends ago.
Unbelievable dribbler. He's against Roma. The fifth most dribbles per 90 in Europe at the moment, behind Neymar, Traore, Messi and Zaha. He's putting up 4.5 dribbles per 90.
Wow.
Just an incredibly explosive player. Really reminds me, when you watch him play and how he dribbles, of Eden Hazard. Doesn't necessarily have the end product, but you know, 1700 minutes, 7 goals, 2 assists.
Because he's not that big either, right? He's like one of those like small guys who's got the acceleration.
Yeah, he's 5'8", so he's got a bit of Sterling. He's got a bit of Sterling about him as well. Yeah, 7 goals, 2 assists in 1,700 minutes. So he's improved his end product this season. 1 key pass as well. As I said, ridiculous numbers of dribbles. Last season, I think he was putting up 3.5. This season, that's gone up to 4.5. Napoli, Inter and Everton all inquired about him in January. So I think there's a couple of options on the table for Chelsea. I think whatever happens, you bring him back. Because at €15 million, even if you do a Morata to Madrid and you just flog him on straight away, just say, okay, we'll take him 15 and sell him to Napoli for 25 and take a €10 million profit. It's €10 million they didn't have. Or, which I think might be the more sensible option, is you allow Pedro and Willian to leave, whose contracts run out in the summer, leaving you with a winger core of Ziyech, Ziyech, Pulisic, and Hudson-Odoi. And then you bring Bogard back as your fourth winger, as like your rotation option, fourth choice. Very explosive, great off the bench for 12.5 million euros, and allows you to spend more on a centre forward than going and spending 100 and let's say 150 million euros on Jadon Sancho. I think Chelsea are probably more likely to spend that money on a striker, allowing a Giroud to leave as well. I don't think Batshuayi is going to have a future at the club either.
No, probably not.
So you're going to be left with just Tammy, three wingers, and if you spend 12.5 on Bogart, it covers the wing area as the fourth spot, and then it allows you to bring in a striker who can also do a bit of everything. So I think I would go for Bogart, bring him back at 12.5, spend the money on a striker, and allow Pedro, Willian and Giroud just to leave, and then also spend a lot of money on a left back, because Bogart for 12.5 million euros, which is why not. I think the clause is only active this June as well, so
strike while you can,
even if you have to sell him on. And I think Chelsea probably will. He said, Bogar actually said, I always keep in the corner of my head Chelsea. If I continue to do what I'm doing, work hard, maybe I'll be back one day. So he's probably quite keen to go back as well. I think Sassuolo probably a little bit below him in terms of his technical ability. So yeah, I think Jeremy Bogar to Chelsea, 15 million euros.
I like it.
I really like that.
I think that's good work, technical director Tomlinson.
Yeah, and also Chelsea can probably make a bit of money, like, because Loftus-Cheek will come back, it means they could probably move on Barkley.
Yeah.
And then they've got Mount and Loftus-Cheek have actually both played on the left as well, haven't they?
Yeah, and there's also
get a bit of money for Barkley as well. His current run of form has probably put him back in the shop window.
And they're not going to, I don't think they'll need another centre mid. You've got, what, Kante, Jorginho, Kovacic, you've got Billy Gilmore coming through,
and
then
Loftus-Cheek.
You've got Mount in the attacking midfield area. Pulisic can also drop in there. Then you've got Hudson-Odoi. Ziyech can also play as an attacking midfielder.
They need to get strikers.
I think they probably need a striker more than a winger. And if they spend 150 on Sancho, they're not going to be able to spend a lot on a striker.
Might get a centre back as well.
I think I would think about a central midfielder, just because I think Loftus-Cheek probably isn't going to play that deep. When he plays, he'll probably play further forward, because I think he might be preferred to Mount.
What about Big Billy though? They do love Big
How
Billy.
How old
there.
Is he though?
I think he's like 19.
Yeah, I think he's pretty young.
They do really like
Billy Gilmore.
Okay, but like I think. This season, we've started to see the beginning of the end of N'Golo Kante, right?
Really?
Like, fitness-wise, like, the injury issues are, like, the injuries are getting closer together and more severe. And he is a player who his anticipation only shows if he's got the physical ability to match it. And as that starts to decline, I do worry a little bit.
I think he's
been running constantly for, like, 5 years.
I do think they'll go left-back.
Yeah, left-back is priority.
Goalkeeper. I think those will be the three priorities probably for Chelsea in the summer. The chat of Sancho, I don't see them being able to afford Jadon Sancho, a striker, a left back in Ben Chilwell potentially, and a goalkeeper that's at that level. Because goalkeepers are fucking expensive nowadays.
I don't think they're going to go for Ben Chilwell. Apparently they're going to go for Alex Telles from Porto.
But even he's probably going to be 30.
Yeah, I think it'd be 20 or 30.
And also that suggests to me, like, okay, we actually need to keep our powder dry for like something else.
Something big, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think Sancho makes sense. It's just not a priority position.
Where do they sell? Let's say they sell Kepa, which is probably quite likely. Who picks up Kepa at what they're going to be asking for, 50? Because they spent 70 on him.
They might have to ask for 40 or 35.
I genuinely wouldn't pay that. I think somebody
who's going to pay that? Yeah.
Do you pay? I think they'll be lucky to get 30.
Because
he's
the
got a worst save percentage.
Because if you're looking at where he goes, like
back to Spain
is the option, isn't it? And Atleti are covered, Real are covered, and so are Barca.
His replacement at Bilbao, I can't remember his name, done really well as well. So they went.
It's just a very odd one. Like, he's not going to go to Juve, is he? Bayern obviously bought in the Schalke goalkeeper on a free, didn't they? PSG. Pretty happy with is it still Kaylor?
Yeah.
I just don't understand where Kepa goes, to be totally honest. So I think they'll have a trouble shifting him.
Yeah. Berkey's not playing very well at Dortmund, but I don't know.
But again, they're not gonna pay a lot of money. They'll go and just sign some young lad, won't they?
And they'll probably look at the stats and be like,
Why would we? It doesn't feel
like a Dortmund thing to
me. What are you gonna do with Kepa?
So yeah, I think that he'd be a good option. Cheap option.
Quite satisfied how rubbish is. Those are a lot more exciting than the ones. I don't know. I kind of didn't like anything that I found, so I've kind of got three guys. Like, one is Alexander Sorloth. You might want to have a look at him. Like, apparently various Premier League clubs sniffing around him. He's still owned by Crystal Palace.
Hilariously, he's scored 24 goals in all competitions this season, I think.
Palace
have scored 24 goals.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's really good. He's got 25 goal involvements in 23 Super League appearances for Trabzonspor. 19 goals and 6 assists.
Hilarious.
Now, admittedly, you know, the Super League is horrendous, but he's 24. Like, he's also one of the biggest people I've ever seen play football. So, you know, if Villa managed to stay up, Sawloth wouldn't be the worst, like, backup to Vesely, I don't think. Like, they're not that dissimilar. But
I think his Premier League has probably been tainted. Yeah, I think the Premier League will touch him
again. It's so hard to come back to the Premier League after one club has decided you're not good enough, even if you end up being good enough.
Look at Florian Thauvin, prime example.
I mean, Neil Warnock was slagging him off on Soccer Saturday, saying, like, he was just useless.
I mean, like, I wouldn't be surprised he might be useless. Like, it depends who I was, whether I go for him. Like,
don't know whether it's Neil Warnock had an issue with him.
Like, Leganés are probably going to go down, but Leganés lost Braithwaite, and they also sold Youssef El-Nesyri to Sevilla in January. Like, I actually think El-Nesyri and Sawloth are really similar. So, like, that is the sort of thing I do. Like, if I need a big target man who can bully his way through a couple of challenges.
He's probably on a big wage, though, no? At Trabzonspor.
He'll be on whatever he's paid at Palace, won't he?
Is he on loan?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
And they got him out of Norway or wherever he's from. Mm. Like, so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I don't think it'd be that much. Like, but anyway, I mean, he's a possibility. I also think Andre Gray is a possibility. Andre Gray is still 28. He was always pretty quick, and he's still reasonably quick. Barely playing for Watford, 700 minutes this season.
Injured?
I don't know, because I wondered, because I always think... I
haven't even seen him off the bench or anything.
No,
remember it.
And I do think Andre Gray is actually a pretty good forward.
Let me double check. Carry on with your
He's got two goals in 700 minutes, which is not spectacular, but expected goals says he should also have a couple of assists, and that's not really his fault. You know, like, I think he played a bit more in the first half of the season when nothing was going their way. And you think if he had four goals and assists in 700 minutes, you'd be like, expected goals and assists per 90, 0.6. And it's been that for the last 3 years. Very, very reliable. And he's, you know, he's strong, he's fast. Yeah, he's not going to win much in the air. He's not really going to dribble either. But he will get you 2.5 to 3 shots per 90 minutes, plus create another 1.5-ish.
No injuries listed on transfer marked.
Yeah, I think Andre Gray is actually, like, quite an underrated striker. Mm. Like, I think he's a pretty good player. Like, so I'd look at him. The most exciting guy I've got is Myron Bouadou, like, out of AZ Alkmaar, who's having a phenomenal season. And I think the Eredivisie, like, they talk a big game about fees, but they never actually follow through on
it. They don't. Look at Bergwijn, man.
Justin Kluivert.
And ZX only ended up as 33, rising to 40 or something like that.
Yeah. Justin Kluivert went for 20 million euros. Yeah. Like,
even
Bergwijn,
Frankie Dion went for 60, didn't he? Like, yeah. Frankie Dion probably was a generational talent, Frankie Dion.
They were like, De Ligt is going to be the most expensive defender of all time. Like, 66 mil, something like that. You're like, that's fine. That's all right. I'll pay that. Like, and so I think Bouadou you could probably get, because he's 19. This is really his first season putting up big numbers. In fact, it's his first season really playing much. 14 goals and 6 assists in under 2,000 minutes. So he's got a goal involvement every 97 minutes as a 19-year-old. And yes, it is the Eredivisie, but that's 3 years younger than Bergwijn. Like, and really comparable numbers. Like, 2.7 shots, 1.2 key passes, 1.2 dribbles. These are basically the same as well in the Europa League, where he's got 6 goal involvements in 600 minutes. He's also now got a cap for the Netherlands, and he scored on his debut for the Netherlands. So he'll probably go to the Euros, especially after that injury to Memphis Depay. And, you know, Quincy Promise is getting on a bit and is not spectacular.
Like, Ryan Barbour will end up going.
Ryan Barbour will definitely go, 100%. But I think, like, Bouadou, like, I would try and get him before the Euros if I can, because if you wait till after, I think his price will go up like 5 or 10.
If he started,
especially if he scored. But even if they can just say, like, he is a Netherlands regular, it's just going to tick up a little bit. But that to me is, like, he's a guy who's a striker really, but, like, he can play from wide. Like, he doesn't have to play as a, like, legit point man. And I think if you can afford to. If you're the kind of side where maybe you've got good strikers, like say you're a Leicester, where you've got like
or Tottenham,
a striker you love, but who's super old, and you think he's going to go at some point, get a guy in like this who you can give him some minutes, and if he ends up being good enough, you haven't wasted that much. Not being good enough, you could probably, if you spend 20 million euros on him, you can sell him back to the Eredivisie for like 15.
Ooh.
I just think it depends what they do. I just think that. If there's any chance that Kane goes, I think they'll plug all the Kane money back into a top quality centre forward. And to be honest, okay, to get off piste a little bit, the rumours that Kane wants to consider his future.
In the Telegraph this morning.
Yeah. If you can get 100 million quid for Kane,
you should take it.
100%. I like Kane, but Kane is nowhere near the player he was. He really isn't. He's never been the same after injuries. And I'm not doing the thing that we've seen from some stats people on Twitter where they say like he's useless now, but he is in decline clearly, and he's also, when he's at his best now, it's not doing the Harry Kane thing of like 5 years ago, not 5 years ago, like 2 years ago, where he was taking five shots a game and he was like doing it from everywhere and he was really creative as well. Like now I think you only really want him as like a pure penalty box striker, like playing much more like Aguero plays now, where he's like in the penalty area, amazing movement, unbelievable finisher with both feet and his head. I'm not sure Spurs can afford for him to be that. I think Spurs might need more of an all-round forward.
Yeah, I mean, if Real Madrid come in with 100 million, Tottenham might well be tempted, mightn't they? That would be such a good transfer.
Do you not think it feels like a United thing? If United get that last Champions League space, if United finish fifth and get Champions League...
It does, but it's just never going to happen. I just
150 mil.
Completely pleased with that.
I would take him every day of the week for 100 million. I would.
You sell Pogba and you turn the money around for Kane.
I think it's more like very, very likely United are just going to spend that Pogba money on Sancho.
I mean, to be honest, I'd get Sancho ahead of Kane.
But I would have Kane as well. But yeah, United are desperate for that penalty box striker, aren't they? So I tried to get Haaland, ended up with Odioni Carlo, the king. But they're desperate for a player that's different to Martial, who's just like never in the penalty box. All he wants to do is dribble at players all the time.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying that he's 100 million, he's rated 100 million. That's a massive amount of money. He'd still be in the top, what, 10 most expensive players of all time?
But I think, though, that like
Tottenham will want more
than
that, surely.
2 years ago, it could have been 150, sure.
But I also think we look at this very differently from the way that like the football world ecosystem in the UK. No, just in the UK. I think if you looked around Europe and you asked like how much Harry Kane was worth, they'd have a much more realistic estimate than people do here. Like if you were,
we'd be saying 200.
Well, yeah, before the Spurs, when Spurs drew Leipzig in the Champions League, there were people who were just like, I remember people having conversations like on Twitter about who was the better striker, like Timo Werner or Harry Kane. And I was like, I'm sorry, but there's no competition between those guys anymore.
Not now, yeah.
Like Timo Werner is now the best young striker in the world, with the exception of Mbappe. Like Kane is now quite an unreliable guy who scores when he's fit.
But if he's fit, he's better.
I don't think he's better at all. Not now. Not this season. Certainly not. Like, because he's never had the creativity that Werner has. Like, people like to talk about his creativity, but he's never put up numbers like Werner is right now. He doesn't have the pace. I think he can't play wide.
I think if he was fit, though, and the two were available, and he didn't have those injury problems, I would still be taking Kane as a Man United manager. Like, if I was the Man United person, I want Kane.
But that would be because of a stylistic thing, and I think you can't really take the fitness thing out of the equation. Mm. But also, I'd look at Werner and I'd be like, Werner scores more goals and is younger. Like that is fundamentally it. Like Werner is going to score more goals. Who's going to score more goals over the next 3 years, Kane or Werner? Even if they're both fit the whole time.
I'd say Werner,
but mainly due to the fitness. I think it would be very even if Kane was fit for 30 games.
But when he was fit this season, like his scoring rate was way down.
Werner's going to go to Liverpool and be a rotation player.
I think if he goes to Liverpool, he won't be a rotation player.
I don't think he's going to go to Liverpool. I think they would have to sell one of their front three to get Werner in. I don't think they've got the.
Or they'll just move to 43-1. You could do that.
But he's got 55 million euro release clause, isn't he?
Yeah, but I just think none of their.
And Firmino hasn't.
I don't know whether their finances are in that position, to be totally honest. I can't remember reading. I think it was in The Athletic saying that basically they'd have to sell one of their front three to bring in a superstar forward. But admittedly, I had forgotten about Werner's release clause being so low.
And they didn't spend much last season.
I just think if you can get Kane back to full fitness, how old is he now? 27?
Yeah, so 26, 27.
Werner's how, 24?
23.
So yeah, obviously Werner profile's a lot better, but just there's something about Harry Kane, I just think he's such a good striker.
But I think that's because like we still think of Harry Kane as the player he was like 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, I think he was probably the best number nine in the world. Like I think he's never as multi-skilled as like a Suarez. Mm. But a couple of years ago, he was taking as many shots per game as Lewandowski. Like he was just like the best in the league, like for XG.
He got like over
stuff.
40 goals. It was nearly a goal a game from like 45 games.
He just looked like
a young Lewandowski. Like that is what he looked like. Like he had that physical presence and the ability to score with any part of his body. But
hopefully he comes back stronger from this injury.
I think it's unlikely he'll ever be quite the same.
It's every single season though, isn't it? Sort of February time he gets injured.
Yeah, and the thing is it's the same parts of his body.
Yeah.
It's like ankles again and again and again. That really worries me.
Well, hopefully he comes back stronger and hopefully Man United pick him up for 100 mil. That'd be a great sum, wouldn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, I think we'll end up spending that money on Jadon Sancho. But we're not going to.
If you
right
can.
Now.
Just quickly, I wrote
I see you got a goalkeeper.
Two points on goalkeeper because I suggested him for Chelsea a couple of months ago. and he's called Marco Bizot. He's the AZ Alkmaar keeper. AZ Alkmaar? Paso, how do you pronounce
it? RZ.
RZ Alkmaar. He's played all but one of their games this season. They've conceded 17 goals in 24 games, which is the best record in Europe's, well, top seven leagues. Although that's level with Real Madrid, who have played four games more. He saved 85...
What are the top seven leagues?
I included Portugal and the Eredivisie.
No, but if it's Portugal, surely it's... But Benfica, haven't they conceded like nine goals this season?
I shouldn't have included top six then. I don't know about it.
Benfica genuinely have conceded like nothing this season. I can't get over it.
They've conceded
like
nine.
Okay, get it up.
Yeah, but it might be that it's not one keeper. They might have like cycled team because they've got the guys like his name's Odysseus, I think.
Okay.
And they've
Odysseus,
also
Odysseus, great name.
Yeah, he's like Odysseus something.
They've conceded 13.
And they've got the other kid, Miles Vila.
Who had that shocker against Man United?
Porto have only conceded 15.
Bloody hell.
All right, take
but,
it away.
But by the way, but that's genuinely gone up from like single figures quite recently, Benfica.
I think what I maybe meant to write was level with the best record in Europe's top five leagues. Anyway, he saved 85% of the shots he's faced this year, which is 1% more than the next best in Europe, in Europe's top five leagues. Guess who's the next best in Europe's top five
Jan,
leagues?
Is
next,
it?
No, it won't be. Jan Oblak's had a really, really bad season, actually, like in shot stopping, especially from set pieces. Hang on, let me think. Sorry, so 85%.
Alisson was on 80. He was the best in the Prem.
Alisson is the best in the Prem, which means...
He plays for a big club.
It's Thibaut Courtois.
No, but it might well have been if you'd counted it from November.
Yeah. He's had a fantastic.
He pays for a big club. Intriguing.
Oh, Ter Stegen.
One of you has sort of personal links to, not personal links to him, but you know, he's played for one of your clubs.
Oh, Wojciech Szczęsny.
Szczęsny.
I was going to say Fabianski, but
Szczęsny, 84%, and Bizot, his value is £5.3 million. Might be worth looking at, and he's been having the save percentage has been in the top four of the Eredivisie for the last 4 years. So it's not a fluke season, but he's playing exceptionally well. And at 28, could be a good backup keeper.
And I hate this shit of like, let's pay like 40 mil for a keeper. Like, unless it is like an Oblak or a Donnarumma. Like, I think like 90% of the time with keepers, you're just like, they might, you don't have the faith that you have in like a striker or a midfielder. Mm. And you don't, even the stats like are less reliable. Oh, except the stats did say that Kepa was going to be not great, and he's not great. Yeah. But
second,
I don't
best,
know, five
second
mil,
best save, no, best save percentage in Europe's top five leagues and the Eredivisie. Pretty impressive.
Sounds like he's worth a look. Yeah. Cool. So that's it. Like, I think we've done quite a good job there. I think that there's enough material in there to keep up some mid-table sides and maybe even improve some top sides. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Extra Time, and let us know your ideas for future episodes. Get at us on Twitter. Make sure as well you subscribe if you've just turned up to listen to one episode. I don't know why that would happen, but potentially. And we'll see you next time. Thanks very much, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Extra Time.
He shoots and it's a goal.